Do you believe what Ephesians 5 says about music? That it says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I was listening to the choir number, and the song started off tonight, if you remember choir in church, with God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And then on the chorus, it said, may the Lord find us faithful. And it's just like the Lord just, the Spirit just said, fear can keep you from faithfulness. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, and he calls us to faithfulness. But fear can keep us from faithfulness. I think that's an important message in that song that the Lord just impressed upon me while they were singing, and it taught me something that I had not thought about maybe ever before. I don't know, but I certainly haven't thought about recently, that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but he does want me to be faithful. And I need to be watchful against that spirit that it would keep me from being faithful. I think that's a powerful principle, especially in the days in which we're living, that fear does not govern me from doing what I know is right before the Lord, that I stay faithful before the Lord. And choir, thank you for preparing. Thank you for singing. Thank you for teaching me tonight through the music that was sung. We're in Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 1. And messianic passage here in the sense that it's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we know that is because that this passage is quoted in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. But the Bible says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, because the Lord hath anointed me. When the Scripture uses the word anoint in relationship to the Holy Spirit, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it means to rub with oil, and the purpose of that taking place is to consecrate or to set one's aside for an office or for service or for ministry. For sacred use. We have it in the Old Testament. Anointing was a common practice in biblical times. It involved rubbing and sometimes pouring a substance on a person or an object. Anointing is first mentioned in Scripture in connection with Jacob, who anointed a pillar and made a vow to the Lord at Bethel in Genesis 31, verse number 13. The context of Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22 suggests that this anointing marked the sacred character of the spot as God's house in Jacob's life during that time of his life. Anointing was also practiced to set people apart unto the Lord in the Old Testament. We know that. The law of Moses required that the priest be anointed with special oil. It wasn't that the oil had special significance or importance, but it was that procedure that God asked, that protocol, that practice, that painted a much more important picture that they were being set apart unto the Lord to serve in that way. When the anointing oil was applied to Aaron and his sons, it symbolized their consecration to God's service. Anointing seemed to have served a similar function for Israel's kings, if you remember. In the Old Testament, Samuel anointed Saul to be the first king. You know that, according to 1 Samuel 10:1. Saul's successor, David, was actually anointed twice, first by Samuel, and then later by the house of Judah when he took over all of Israel. What does that teach us? And is the anointing in the Scripture applicable to the Christian today? So I'm giving you some Old Testament patterns that were established, but let's look into the New Testament. It's interesting that the word Christ, all right, Jesus Christ, Christ means anointed or the anointed one. So every time that we would say Jesus Christ, we're speaking of the anointed one. That's the meaning. And so Christ speaks of himself being anointed here in Isaiah 61, but turn over to Luke chapter number 4 because Luke quotes that Old Testament passage. When Jesus preached in the synagogue in Nazareth, he identified himself as the Lord's anointed. In fact, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now the question is this, could Christ accomplish all of that without an anointing from the Spirit? Well, Christ had all power within him, did he not? So why does the scripture then take time to record that Jesus speaks of being anointed by the Spirit? Because there's truth about Christ being anointed by the Spirit that is practical for you and me. And I want to show you that tonight in the scriptures. The anointing of Christ enabled him to deal effectively with sin's bankruptcy in people's lives. To preach the gospel to what? To the poor. To people that were spiritually bankrupt. His anointing enabled him to deal with sin's bitterness and its bondage, and its blindness, and its bruises. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's interesting that Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to enable me to do this." These things during his lifetime of ministry here on this earth. In John 3, verse number 34, I want you to turn over there. Because the Bible says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ did not have a certain measure of the Spirit that was limited. He had all of the Spirit. Now the question is this. Do we only have a measure of the Spirit? Do we only have a part of the Spirit? Or do we get all of the Spirit? At salvation, we get all of the Spirit. You can't cut the Spirit up into pieces. Say, well, you get a part here, you know, when you're young, and you get a part here when you're older, and, you know, we'll slice this part of the Spirit and give it to you in your latter years. No, 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 no. The same Spirit that Christ received without measure here in John 3 is the same Spirit that we receive at the moment of salvation. We know it as the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Turn over, if you will, to Acts chapter 10, because Peter, preaching about Jesus, said this about Christ in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. The Bible says here how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's pretty powerful. Oppression of the devil is pretty powerful. For God was with him. Now, who brought about the anointing? God the Father brought about the anointing on God the Son. And the anointing had to do with the Holy Ghost, right? Here in this passage. And the effect was power. Do you see that? Power. Lots of power. And the ability to do good and healing the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so even in the life of Christ, it's clearly pronounced in our New Testament, in Luke chapter 4 and Acts chapter 10, that Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit, consecrated. One of the purposes of anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, and by the way, anointing takes place at salvation. I'll show you in the scriptures tonight that it's for every believer. It's not something that we're begging for. Some special manifestation of the Spirit. It's indwelling, but it's anointing at salvation. And one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is that he would consecrate us for service. That's what we find in the life of Christ here. And that's what we find in the Bible. Folks, this is important. If you're a Christian, you need to understand this truth, that you didn't get saved just to be saved from hell. You got saved, and at salvation, God anointed you with the Holy Spirit. And that anointing was for the purpose that you were declared to be sacred or to be set aside for the Master's use for ministry. That is the purpose of the anointing of the believer in Scripture, that you have been consecrated. Brethren, a lackadaisical Christian that's not interested in serving God is misunderstanding what took place at salvation. And we need to have a biblical understanding of this, that God anointed Christ, and as a result, He's anointed the believer in the way of consecration to be used by God. For a Christian to push away from that is to push away from being used by God is to push away from the Holy Spirit and His anointing in our lives. So if the Spirit's anointing in the life of Christ was for the purpose of being set apart for ministry and impact, does God the Holy Spirit do the same for believers today? I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Brethren, I believe there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. And what I'm introducing tonight is not new truth. I think that sometimes, though, we live life without the present reality of the Holy Spirit within us. And sometimes we drift from that truth and there's a lot that goes on in our lives, but we need to come back to this truth of the Holy Spirit because it's a present reality that we live with every day, the person of the Holy Spirit within us and His anointing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says this, "Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath what? Anointed who? Us is God." God did the anointing in this passage. Nobody anoints themselves. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that you don't stand up and say, "Well, I'm getting the anointing right now from God." No. That's not a picture of anointing. Here the Bible says, Paul speaking to the church, and he says three things happened here. Number one, they were established with the church at Corinth. I want you to know that one of the things that God does in believers' lives is He establishes them in a church with them. There was establishing, there was a settling, there was a coming together, and Paul is testifying of that in the church at Corinth. By the way, he was there for 18 months the first time around and came and spent time there, and he said, "God established us, and then He hath anointed us. He hath rubbed us with oil to set us aside to be used to minister with you and to you." Brethren, that's what He does with every Christian at salvation. There is an anointing that takes place that not only are you saved, but the sanctifying work begins instantly at salvation by the anointing of the Holy Spirit from God, whereby He sets you aside and says, no longer are you going to fulfill the role of the world. No longer are you going to fulfill a role that is a natural man role or a fleshly life. I'm setting you aside. I'm anointing you with My Spirit so that, watch this, you become little Christs. Because the word Christ means what? Anointed one. At the moment of salvation, God does this work of anointing. He hath anointed us. And then there's a third work in verse number 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. How many of you have ever had to put a down payment on something? Okay. Or you went and saw something and it was a little bit pricey and you didn't have all the money when you went to look at whatever you wanted to purchase or were interested in purchasing. And so you said, "Hey, I don't want you to sell it to somebody else. Can I give you money as a hold?" Yeah. You give money as a hold, guaranteeing that you'll come back and pay the rest of it, right? Or you're going to lose the money. That's earnest. Here. The Bible says that God hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee that someday we will have a day of redemption where Christ will come back and take us home. And so I not only want you to see Christ as the anointed one, but I want you to see the ministry of the anointer. I think that it's important that we understand that we are saved and we are saved for service. We find that in another passage of Scripture written a different way. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you know the verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the works of God. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, does anybody know verse number 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Who's going to help accomplish all this? The Spirit of God. Indwelling. He has established us in a local church. He has sanctified us or anointed us or set us apart for service. Dear Christian, for you to sit like a bump on a log in a local church is not the will of God. It is you not understanding what took place at salvation when God anointed you with the Spirit so that you would have divine purpose in serving our great God. And if you can understand that concept and you have a helper within you to accomplish that purpose, and that helper is the Holy Spirit, then you shouldn't buck if somebody comes up and says, you know, could you help in such and such a ministry? Would you be interested in going out and knocking on doors and telling others about Jesus? Brethren, for Christians to buck all that is to not understand why God saved me. He saved me to serve. He saved me to be used for his honor and his glory. It is important that we understand that we're set apart, or there's a divine consecration that takes place. I want to talk to the young people of this church. I want to talk to juniors tonight at Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm talking to 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds that have been saved, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds. I want you to know that God wants you to be a consecrated believer to him. I want you to understand tonight God has a plan for your life, and God wants to use you. And if you got saved, at the moment at which you got saved, God, Almighty God, anointed you with the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And by doing that, what he was doing is saying, your life is special to me. And I want to set it apart, and I want to do with it much more than what you could ever do with it yourself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Divine consecration. Secondly, this anointing of the Holy Spirit provides divine enablement. Divine enablement. This anointing Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is really fleshed out in Acts chapter 18. Would you turn there? Not only do we have divine consecration that takes place at salvation, but this anointing of the Holy Spirit gives us divine enablement. Enablement. It's important that we have divine enablement. Paul says to that church at Corinth, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Well, what did that anointing look like fleshed out? I mean, is that just a nice phrase that he just decided to include in the Scripture without any meaning, without any understanding? Or does that phrase have meaning? Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 18, you find that he came to Corinth in verse number 1. And I just want you to look at the verbs connected with Paul's life in Acts chapter 18, because I believe that the anointing enabled him to accomplish what he did in Corinth. The Bible says in verse number 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And what? Persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. In verse number 5, of course, Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia. Paul was pressed in the spirit. And what did he do? He testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, that Jesus was the anointed one. Verse number 6, it wasn't easy. By the way, ministry is not always easy. But he didn't give up. Here's what he said in verse number 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. He navigated Paul's life for him. The Spirit of God. He enabled him. Hey, he preached. He reasoned. He persuaded the Jews in the synagogue, the Bible says. He testified to them that Jesus was Christ. And then in verse number 6, they opposed themselves and he was bold to say, hey, your blood's going to be on your own hands. We have preached, we have declared Christ unto you, and I'm going to continue to work, but I'm going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse number 7, he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God hath anointed us, what he was saying was when we were there, God enabled us in the work of the ministry with you. This is not something that church at Corinth you couldn't see. This is something that you saw before your very eyes. God led him to enter the house with Justus. Does God do that today? Does the Spirit of God direct in that way? Does he enable us to point us where to go and who to talk to? Do you believe that he does that today? He did for Paul. He got into that house and Crispus believed. The chief of the synagogue believed on Christ. I'm sure that caused quite a stir in the synagogue. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed. All of this was taking place. Verse number 11, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months doing what? Teaching the word of God among them. Brethren, I want you to know that the Spirit of God, when he came on you and God anointed you with the Spirit at salvation, we're talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. He consecrated you, but he also enables for ministry use. He gives us what we need. He directs our path. Brethren, this is real. You need to understand the Bible's not talking about something in theory here. The Bible's talking about something in reality that can take place in your life and my life by the Spirit of God. And it did. Notice all the connection with the Word of God. He taught the Word of God. He testified of Christ among them. He reasoned, and I'm sure he reasoned out of the word of God and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He entered into a certain man's house and Crispus believed. That means he had to hear something about Christ. That means Paul probably took him to the word and showed him in the word who Christ was. The Spirit of God will always enable us with the word of God. Christian, may I challenge you tonight? I need to challenge you on this front. You want to be more greatly used by God? Anybody here say, preacher, I'd like to God to use me more. I think all of us would be there. Hey, you know what you have to know? Right here. You got to know the book. Because the Spirit of God uses the book. He used, he equipped, he enabled here Paul in Corinth, and he enabled him to what? Point people to the book. By pointing people to the book, he was pointing people to Christ. How do I get in a place, preacher? I'm a young person. How do I get in a place to be better used by God? Know the book. Learn the book. Get in the book. My God will use you if you know the book. The Spirit of God will bring that book to your mind. The Spirit of God will use you as a mouthpiece, as he did in Paul's life. In the New Testament, he consecrates us. He enables us for ministry. And then sometimes the anointing of the Spirit specifically moves us and separates us. He did that for Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13 when the Holy Spirit said, separate me. So we believe there's a consecration of every believer, right? We believe that God sets every believer aside to be used by God in his work throughout their entire lifetime. But there's also a special consecration that we learn about, where God gives a specific calling in life. He did that for Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit said unto them, separate me for the work whereunto I have called them. Same principle of consecration, but to a specific work. God at times does that in our lives. I want you to see something else. He gives divine consecration, the anointing of the Spirit, the ministry of the anointing of the Spirit is divine consecration and divine enablement, and thirdly, divine direction. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. It's important that we understand God's work through the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, we know that John speaks about the Antichrist spirit, doesn't he? In John chapter 2, 1 John. In fact, one of the warnings that he gives over and over is if people deny the Son, they deny the Father, the spirit of Antichrist is in them. In verse number 18, notice he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists. By the way, I believe there are many antichrists in the world today. There were in John's day. There are many of them. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But, little children, saved individuals, ye have an unction from the Holy One. What's that word unction? It's the word anointing. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now drop down to verse number 26, because we're going to see the word anointing used as well in this passage. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. The anointing which ye have received of you abideth in you. What's that talking about? Holy Spirit. But he's in you, that anointing. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Bible's not saying that we should not be taught. Other passages of Scripture, we know that teaching is important. In fact, in Colossians, the Bible says, as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving, giving. It's talking about being rooted and built up, and we're built up by teaching, biblical teaching. But what the Bible is saying here, that the threat of the spirit of Antichrist and false doctrine is offset by the fact that you have the anointing of the Spirit. If you've been saved, you were given the anointing of the Spirit. You were given the Spirit of God. All right, we're talking about the indwelling. That's what we're talking about. And the Bible says here, notice, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that spirit of Antichrist that's talked about earlier in this passage, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. We find that the anointing ministry of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of teaching and imparting spiritual power to believers. I think that it is interesting that the anointing is the word for Christ versus Antichrist. Isn't that wonderful? Man, when you got saved, you got Christ. You don't have to worry about the spirit of Antichrist in your life. You don't have to worry about apostatizing or ever falling away to the point that you denounce your faith or you. No, you got Christ. You got the Holy Spirit. And notice in this passage that what does the Spirit do? Last phrase of verse 27. Of course, he teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall what? Abide in him. There's divine direction. What is the Spirit going to teach you, Christian, throughout your lifetime? You know what he's going to teach you? He's going to teach you to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. The Spirit's going to point you in that direction. You start abiding in entertainment. You start abiding over here in worldliness. You start abiding over here in the cares of this life. And you know what the Spirit's going to do? He's going to pull you. Come on, come on, come on. Come back to Christ. You start abiding in backsliding. Boy, you start taking a wrong path. You know what the Spirit's work in a Christian's life is? Hey, come here, come here. Come on, come on, come on with me. Come on, let's get back to Christ. Let's get back to Christ. Let's spend some time with Christ. You've neglected your devotions. You've neglected some spiritual time that you need in your life on a daily basis. Hey, 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 now, come on. Come on, dwell with Christ now. He knocks on the door. He's ready to come in and sup with you and you with him, according to Revelation 3. And the Spirit will lead you to abide in Christ. Brethren, we're blessed to have the anointing of the Spirit of God. He consecrates us. Dear Christian, have you lost track? Are you getting sucked up into this world? What the world wants for you? May I remind you tonight that you received the anointing of the Spirit at salvation in the sense that God set you apart unto him. And there's no more wonderful life than to fulfill the purpose for what God has for you in your life. That's the best life. That's the abundant life, as the Scripture talks about the abundant life. Easy for us to get caught up, isn't it? Caught up in the common life, the world's life. Lose purpose every day that, man, at salvation, I was set apart. God set me apart unto a sacred purpose. Christians sometimes struggle with, man, I don't want to know if I want to live anymore. Life's so hard. I'm not sure. Sometimes I just like to think that maybe it'd just be easier to just check out. And hey, Christians have those thoughts. Study John the Baptist. Study Elijah in the Scriptures. You know what we need to come back to? Wait a second. At salvation, God set me apart for his use. Man, every day that I wake up, I have something to live for. My life is worth living for Christ. Not only that, God, you give divine enablement. You want me to touch lives. You want me to enter into people's lives and affect them for the glory of God and bring about comfort and bring about truth and tell them the gospel so that they might be saved. Holy Spirit, that's why you're upon me. That's what Christ said. And then direction. Boy, sometimes I get away from abiding. And the Spirit teaches me. He takes time to teach me. Takes time to bring me back. That's what the Bible says about the anointing of the Spirit. Dear Christian, it is my prayer in these messages that God gives you a fresh understanding of the work of the Spirit of God in your lives. We need to understand these things. We need to grab a hold of these truths. We need to say, man, this is what God's done. God's given me a divine helper as I serve the Lord in my Sunday school class, or I serve the Lord in some capacity here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm not alone. It's not just me. It's not just my mind. I have the Holy Spirit to enable me. And so I want to close the message tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.